When you buy a physical piece of commercial real estate, the process is entirely transparent.
It is fundamentally observable.
Yes, observable. You walk the perimeter, you check the concrete foundation, you inspect the roof tiles, you know exactly what you are purchasing for your business.
You hire an inspector to look at the plumbing and the electrical grid. The transaction is completely grounded in physical reality.
And the parameters of that evaluation are universally understood by both the buyer and the seller. The asset itself can be quantified down to the square inch before any money changes hands.
That is the baseline for a normal business investment.
But when we evaluate the current marketplace for AEO, or answer engine optimization, it feels completely detached from that kind of transparency.
It is a totally different landscape.
For you listening, this is the discipline of trying to get your brand to show up when someone asks a chatbot a question. It is often more like buying a sealed box labeled high-performance engine, taking it home, and opening it up on your workbench, only to find a rusty bicycle pedal.
That is a very accurate assessment of the current vendor ecosystem.
The external label on the package simply does not match the internal mechanism being sold. So today, we are going to unpack Search Bloom's April 2026 white paper, which actually sets out to decode how brands can actively and structurally engineer visibility inside large language models.
And it is worth noting up front, the industry uses a lot of different terms for this discipline.
There is an alphabet soup of acronyms. You might hear AEO or GEO for Generative Engine Optimization.
Or AI Search Optimization, AI SEO, or LLM SEO.
We are going to treat all of those terms as exact synonyms throughout this deep dive into the source material. But the underlying issue remains. The market is selling that sealed box.
That relabeling pattern is arguably the defining characteristic of this space right now. The market has recognized a massive shift in user behavior. People are clearly moving toward generative interfaces for complex queries.
And naturally, the vendor ecosystem has rushed to supply services to meet that corporate demand.
Yes, but they have done so before. The underlying methodologies have actually matured or, been properly tested.
Which brings us back to the rusty bicycle pedal in the engine box. Most of the AEO services sold today are just repackaged traditional SEO.
They absolutely are.
We see vendors taking standard schema markup implementation, standard content restructuring, standard entity work, and basic crawler access configuration, and simply putting a new cover sheet on the proposal.
They charge a premium for the new acronym.
But the actual daily work has not changed one bit.
We have to establish early on that AEO is complementary to traditional SEO. It is not an adversary to it, but it requires entirely distinct strategies. Good traditional SEO lays a critical foundation.
Because the search engines and the AI bots share some infrastructure.
Exactly. Traditional SEO will naturally surface brands in an LLM over time because the structural groundwork is shared. In fact, we have explicit data from SEO Clarity published in February 2025.
What did that data show?
It demonstrated that 97% of AI overviews cite at least one source from the top 20 organic search results.
I see. So the connection is undeniable. If you rank well in traditional search, you have a baseline chance of showing up in the generative output.
It demonstrates a powerful mathematical connection between traditional search rankings and generative AI visibility.
So why not just keep doing standard SEO?
Because organizations seeking accelerated results in these platforms, organizations that want to dominate the generative output to be the definitive answer rather than just occasionally appearing as a footnote, they must recognize that traditional SEO alone is insufficient.
The traditional disciplines retain real value, though.
Of course. Schema markup feeds search engine knowledge graphs, which AI systems then leverage indirectly. But none of that is uniquely AEO. Relabeling SEO as AEO does not change the fundamental nature of the work.
The pattern is partly a commercial response, to capture newly unlocked corporate budget allocated specifically for AI initiatives.
It makes financial sense for the vendors. It just does not serve the buyer who needs distinct generative strategies.
And beyond just the repackaged traditional SEO, we are also seeing completely unverified emerging practices being sold to you as absolute certainties. The most glaring example called out in the source material is the LMS.txt file proposal.
You see this everywhere on technical marketing forums right now.
Let us examine that. What exactly is this text file supposed to do?
The LMS.txt file is a fascinating case study in how hype outpaces reality. In principle, the proposal is entirely logical. It mirrors the concept of a standard robots.txt file, but it is explicitly tailored for LLM ingestion.
So it is meant to be a direct line of communication to the bots.
That is the theory. The idea is to provide the crawler with a curated plain text view of a website's content, stripping away the complex HTML formatting to theoretically make it easier for the AI to parse and understand.
It sounds great in a pitch meeting.
Yeah.
You tell a client you are implementing a specialized file just for the AI bots, but the white paper points out a massive flaw here.
A completely fatal flaw. The reality of the current market is that no major LLM provider has documented any official support for it.
None of them.
None. OpenAI has not endorsed it. Anthropic has not endorsed it. Google and Perplexity have not documented any specialized ingestion pipeline for it.
So it is essentially a theory without platform adoption.
It is a community-proposed standard that the actual tech giants are currently ignoring.
And what about the performance data?
There is zero published citation data showing that pages utilizing an LLMs.txt file outperform pages without them in actual AI outputs.
So recommending it to a client as a current, table stakes, AEO, best practice, is mathematically premature.
And scientifically unverified. It is effectively selling a placebo.
If the market is flooded with repackaged SEO and these completely unverified tactics like the text file, how can a marketing leader or a technical director listening to this differentiate genuine AI search optimization from sophisticated snake oil?
They need to demand specific deliverables.
What should they be asking their vendors or their internal teams?
They must ask for strategies that map directly to the merit framework, and they must ask vendors for published evidence of actual citation impact.
Let us spell out merit.
It stands for mentions, evidence, relevance, inclusion, and transformation.
Okay. Mentions, evidence, relevance, inclusion, transformation.
If a proposed strategy only addresses crawler access or basic content structure without addressing third-party validation or the development of original source assets, it is largely relabeled SEO.
Genuine AEO focuses on structural practices that have proven measurable impact on actual citation outcomes across the generative models.
Exactly.
Let us unpack that very first pillar, M for mentions. To understand how an AI decides what to output with confidence, we have to look completely outside the brand's own owned website.
That is a difficult shift for many marketers.
A brand can claim its software is the best in the world on its own homepage, but the AI needs external proof. Mentions refer to third-party validation across trusted platforms in the industry. The framework covers three specific strategies under this pillar, starting with strategy 3, mentions and positive sentiment.
AI systems heavily weigh sentiment and third-party validation when determining what content to ultimately cite. At their core, these models are sophisticated pattern recognition engines.
They are looking for consensus.
Yes, consensus across the web. Community platforms like Reddit, Quora, and industry-specific technical forums play a massive role in shaping that consensus and driving AI citations.
The profound data on this is striking. They published data in October 2025, analyzing over 1 billion citations.
What were the top platforms?
They found that across all AI platforms, YouTube is actually the most cited platform overall. And that is followed very closely by Reddit as the second most cited.
The reliance on Reddit is fascinating, but the citation rates are remarkably volatile. The data notes that ChatGPT's Reddit citations have fluctuated wildly, bouncing anywhere between 1% and 14% of total outputs in recent months, depending on algorithmic tweaks.
That is a massive swing. But the core principle remains solid, does it not?
It does. The sentiment of those mentions directly influences how the AI presents your brand. If the prevailing community sentiment in a subreddit is negative, the LLM will reliably reproduce and amplify that negativity in its output when a user asks about your product.
Which introduces the strict necessity of understanding the karma economy on these platforms. Community platforms aggressively monitor and ban promotional content.
You cannot simply register a corporate account, join a highly technical subreddit, and start linking to your product pages.
They will spot you instantly.
The communities value authentic peer-to-peer contribution over marketing. Violating that principle results in permanent bans, and those bans leave a negative digital footprint.
The framework outlines a highly disciplined, phased approach to this kind of engagement. Phase 1, covering weeks 1 through 4, is purely about building karma through genuine participation.
No brand mentions at all.
Right. The target is generating 500 plus karma points before any brand-related activity ever occurs. You comment on posts, you answer technical questions, you share industry insights.
If you sell project management software, you spend a month just helping people optimize their workflow frameworks without ever mentioning what software you sell.
That requires patience.
It does. Then comes phase two, covering weeks 5 through 12. This allows for organic mentions of your tool or service, but only when directly relevant to the user's specific query.
And always presented as one option among several, I presume.
Precisely. You must never present your brand as the sole perfect solution. You explain trade-offs honestly. You might say, Tool A is great for enterprise scale, Tool B is best for budgets, and we built Tool C specifically for remote teams.
It builds trust through objectivity.
Finally, in phase three, at month 4 and beyond, established community members can reference their own work more naturally. The most powerful outcome here is when the community begins organically recommending your brand without any prompting from your internal team.
The white paper details a case study of a project management software company that executed this rigorous 9-month Reddit strategy. It is a slow burn.
Any missteps along the way?
In month 2, a team member almost mentioned the product prematurely. That could have triggered a subreddit ban and destroyed months of foundational work. But they stayed disciplined.
What were the results?
By month 9, their Perplexity citations increased from 0 to 19% for relevant project management queries.
That is a solid jump.
But the most vital metric was that 89% of those mentions were positive. The advocacy came from genuine users in the community, not corporate marketing pushing a message.
That operational discipline is crucial. One negative viral thread sparked by overly aggressive marketing can entirely outweigh months of positive sentiment building.
So monitoring is essential.
This is why multi-platform monitoring tools like AlertMouse or Airf's Firehose are absolutely necessary. You have to track brand variations, executive mentions, and sentiment trends on a weekly basis.
You monitor Reddit, Quora, Hacker News, Stack Overflow, and LinkedIn groups continuously.
You have to catch any shifting narratives before they become encoded into the AI's retrieval patterns.
Let us move to strategy 2 under the mentions pillar, pay to play. This involves investing in premium listings and featured placements on review and directory platforms like G2, Capterra, Gartner, and Clutch.
This one feels a bit counterintuitive to a lot of traditional marketing minds who view organic and paid strategies as entirely separate silos.
Yes, the mechanical reality of this strategy requires precise clarification. The AI model does not inherently know that you paid a directory platform for a premium placement, does it?
It does not. The crawler does not have access to your marketing budget or your vendor contracts.
So what does the LLM crawler actually see and subsequently cite?
It sees the resulting higher category rankings. It sees the prominent leader badges, the featured placements at the top of category pages, and the aggregated review counts that typically accompany premium profiles.
I follow. You are buying better organic real estate on platforms that AI systems inherently trust. You are not buying the AI citations directly.
That is the exact mechanism.
This raises a highly practical and slightly ethical nuance for marketing leaders. Is this manipulating the AI, or is this simply a functional adaptation to the AI's architectural reliance on aggregated trust signals?
It is a functional adaptation to the retrieval architecture. AI systems rely heavily on software directories and review sites as authoritative aggregators of B2B data. They view these platforms as objective third-party evaluators.
So investing in the platform is just ensuring you are visible during the evaluation.
Premium tiers, which can range from $250 to over $50,000 monthly, depending on the platform and category competitiveness, help you achieve the prominent placement that the AI crawler encounters first when it scans the directory.
However, there is a critical sequencing requirement here. You cannot just throw money at the platform on day one and expect the AI to suddenly revere your brand.
Investing in premium placements when your profile only has 3 to 5 customer reviews wastes your budget and actively damages your credibility.
Why is that?
When the AI retrieves a featured profile with no actual community validation to back it up, the discrepancy acts as a negative signal. The framework recommends a strict sequence.
What are the steps?
First, you build a comprehensive free profile. Second, you optimize every single field, categorical tag, and product description of that profile. Third, you systematically generate 15 to 25 high-quality, detailed user reviews.
And then?
Only after that baseline of trust is established do you invest the capital for premium placement.
A marketing automation platform followed that exact sequence detailed in the source. They had a free G2 profile with 23 reviews, but they were receiving minimal AI citations.
So they applied the sequence?
Yes. They then invested $2,400 a month in G2 premium features. Because they had the foundation, they achieved a leader badge, added 15 detailed case studies to their profile, and began appearing in sponsored comparisons.
And the metrics followed.
Their ChatGPT citations for marketing automation queries increased from 4% to 31% in 6 months. It generated an estimated $47,000 in monthly attributed pipeline. The AI system specifically referenced their leader status and high review count as primary credibility signals in its generated responses.
Which bridges directly into strategy 4, third-party corroboration. This involves earning prominent mentions on external, highly authoritative domains, moving beyond just directories and community forums to actual editorial and analyst coverage.
The AirUps March 2026 data illustrates the mathematical necessity of this external validation. They analyzed more than 21,000 brands.
That is a very robust sample.
They found that an astonishing 85% of brand mentions in AI search come from third-party sources, not the brand's own domain. Brands are 6.5 times more likely to be cited through external content than through their own properties.
So if you rely solely on your own blog to convince the AI, you are fighting an uphill mathematical battle.
Exactly. Furthermore, the formatting of those third-party mentions is highly specific. Approximately 90% of all third-party citations come from listicles, comparison pages, and review sites.
And where you appear on those lists is just as critical.
The data says 80% of the cited brands appear in the top 3 positions of those specific formats.
That is a brutal reality check. If you manage to get included on a high-authority industry comparison listicle, but you are placed in position 4 or 5, you are effectively invisible to the AI generating the response.
Because the AI typically grabs the top 3 and synthesizes them.
The goal is not merely peripheral presence on these platforms, but absolute top 3 placement.
Let us look at the cybersecurity company example from the paper. They use strategic co-authorship and guest posting on sites like TechCrunch, VentureBeat, and Dark Reading.
Highly authoritative domains in their niche.
They implemented author bio schema with their CTO's credentials and specific expertise indicators.
And the outcome?
Their CTO began being cited as a definitive expert in 27% of enterprise security queries by ChatGPT. And those third-party articles were cited far more frequently than the company's own corporate blog.
The authority of the publishing domain, combined with the structured entity data, created a highly citable signal.
But earning those prominent third-party mentions requires actually having something substantive worth citing in the first place. You cannot pitch a guest post or earn a backlink if your content is generic.
That brings us to part 2 of the framework, E for evidence. This focuses exclusively on strategy 5, original source asset development.
Evidence means establishing your brand as the primary authoritative source of verifiable assertions, frameworks, perspectives, or data within your specific category.
The underlying algorithmic mechanism that drives this is net new information gain.
Information gain, let us clarify that.
The AirUps data confirms that LLM filters actively prioritize sources that add new, previously unseen information to the existing corpus, rather than sources that merely restate or summarize existing content.
So if your blog post just regurgitates what 5 other blogs have already said, the AI has no reason to cite you over the original sources.
Exactly. There is a crucial myth to dispel here, one that derails a lot of B2B marketing budgets. Many organizations assume AI strictly prefers empirical data and quantitative statistics over qualitative thought leadership.
They think they need to spend massive budgets on survey data to be cited.
That assumption is structurally incorrect. AI systems cite opinion-based content, expert frameworks, and proprietary analytical perspectives just as readily as empirical research.
That is a notable distinction. So what actually drives the visibility?
What actually drives visibility is the pattern of co-citation across the web. An expert framework or opinion piece that is cited and discussed by 10 authoritative industry sources will systematically outperform a rigorous $100,000 benchmark study that has 0 external citations.
The AI trusts the network of links and mentions, not necessarily the presence of numbers.
Precisely.
I think it is really helpful to think of original source assets as citation generation engines. If you build a brilliant proprietary framework, and leave it isolated on your own website. It is essentially a high-performance engine sitting idle in a closed garage.
It has massive potential, but it goes nowhere.
It needs the fuel of third-party corroboration industry publications quoting it, community discussions debating it, and external links pointing to it to actually run and generate AI visibility.
The framework outlines four distinct types of original source assets, each requiring different levels of investment and serving different strategic purposes.
Let us walk through them. What is the first?
Yeah.
First, expert frameworks and methodologies, like the merit framework itself. These require low to medium financial investment, typically $0 to $15,000. These establish unique thought leadership and shape how the industry thinks about a problem.
And the second?
Second, expert opinion and analysis pieces. These require even less investment and provide timely commentary on industry news.
The third type is more functional, I believe.
Yes. Interactive tools and calculators. These can cost anywhere between $8,000 and $30,000, positioning the brand as a practical utility.
And finally, the research.
Finally, data-driven research studies. These can demand $15,000 to over $100,000, providing statistical claims that drive broad media coverage. All four types are equally citable when properly structured and aggressively promoted to earn those co-citations.
The Carta case study from the AirOps playbook demonstrates this compounding effect perfectly. They achieved a 7x increase in overall AI citations.
And a staggering 75% citation rate on newly published pages, simply by embedding proprietary data and structured authoring into every single post they published.
They stopped publishing generic summaries and started injecting their own unique platform data into the narrative.
If a brand does choose the path of data-driven research, the methodology must be absolutely bulletproof, though.
Small sample sizes undermine credibility with the human journalists and analysts who create the co-citations that the AI ultimately relies on.
What is the threshold for a valid sample size in this context?
Sample sizes below 500 respondents generally lack statistical validity in B2B contexts. A survey of 50 people cannot represent an entire industry, and authoritative sources will simply not cite it, which means the AI will ignore it.
And furthermore, the data presentation must be explicitly optimized for AI retrieval. This is a massive point of failure for many design-heavy brands.
Presenting key statistics exclusively in visual formats like elaborate infographics or beautiful image-based charts means the AI simply cannot read them. The data must be structured in HTML text. You cannot just write 67% in a paragraph.
You have to write out the complete contextual phrasing. For instance, 67% of enterprise companies, representing a sample size of 1,842, increased AI investment in Q3 2025 with a margin of error of plus or minus 3%.
You must timestamp it to prevent algorithmic misattribution of the data to the wrong year.
A dual format presentation strategy is absolutely mandatory. You provide the beautiful visual charts for human engagement and social sharing, but you must pair them with structured HTML tables or downloadable CSV files for the AI systems to parse the underlying data points efficiently.
So you have generated the evidence, you have built the tools or the frameworks, and you have earned the external mentions. But if your own content is structurally illegible to an AI system, it will simply not be retrieved, regardless of its quality or how many people link to it.
This leads us to part three. R for relevance, focusing on strategy one, be the source.
Relevance involves fundamentally restructuring and optimizing your existing own content, your blogs, knowledge bases, and resource centers, so AI systems can efficiently discover, parse, and cite it during the generation process.
This relies entirely on understanding how modern systems use retrieval augmented generation, commonly referred to as RE.
We need to slow down and really explain the mechanics of RAG, because this is where the theoretical meets the practical. When an AI system processes content via RA, it does not read a page the way a human does, top to bottom.
No, it converts text into mathematical vector embeddings measured in hundreds or thousands of dimensions.
You cannot control the mathematical dimensions of the underlying model, but you absolutely can control how your text is chunked before it is converted into those vectors.
Imagine you are trying to pack a suitcase. If you give the AI a giant 2,000-word unstructured block of text, it cannot fit it into its context window effectively.
But if you give it neatly folded, self-contained semantic chunks, it can perfectly slot your answer into its response.
The recommended optimal retrieval unit for these vector embeddings is a self-contained block of 150 to 300 words.
Why that specific size?
That specific size is substantial enough to be semantically meaningful on its own, providing sufficient context for the model, but it is small enough to be precisely matched to specific user query intents without feeding the model excessive, irrelevant context that dilutes the primary signal.
We also need to clarify exactly how schema markup works in this specific context, because there is widespread market confusion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of agencies sell schema implementation as the ultimate AEO silver bullet.
But LLM systems do not directly parse schema markup when generating their real-time responses.
That is a highly critical technical distinction that marketing leaders must understand. An LLM does not read your JSONLD code while it is generating a response.
However, traditional search engines absolutely do read schema to index content accurately and build robust, interconnected knowledge graphs.
And AI systems then leverage those established search engine knowledge graphs heavily during their own retrieval processes.
Therefore, schema optimizes the foundational discovery layer indirectly. It serves as a critical prerequisite for AI visibility, even if the LLM does not read the code directly.
The AROP structural data provides concrete, quantified evidence of this structural impact. Analyzing more than 12,000 individual pages, they found that pages containing FAQs are 40% more likely to be cited in AI search.
Implementing a clear, logical heading hierarchy, moving sequentially from an H1 to an H2 to an H3 without skipping levels, increases overall citation odds by 2.8 times.
And significantly, organized lists and HTML tables appear in nearly 80% of all ChatGPT citations, compared to only 29% in Google's top organic results.
Every single structural element they tested showed presence at margins of 20 to 40 percentage points higher in AI-cited content than in traditional search results. AI models heavily favor explicit structure.
Optimizing content for AI is practically less about writing better narrative prose and more about becoming an incredibly organized, meticulous librarian for the AI crawler.
You use question-based headings that mirror natural language queries. You place direct, concise answers in the very first paragraph under that heading, and you use accessible HTML tables instead of image-based matrices to compare features.
A B2B SaaS company applied its exact structural methodology to a high-traffic product comparison page that was receiving minimal AI citations, despite ranking well in traditional search.
What specific changes did they make?
They rewrote the opening paragraph to provide a direct recommendation. They broke the entire page into 200-word self-contained chunks. They changed generic headers to specific natural language questions. And they converted a large image table into a structured HTML table with 15 distinct feature categories.
And how long did that take?
12 hours of structural optimization work. Over 5 months, their ChatGPT citations for relevant project management software queries increased from 8% to 34%. 12 hours of work yielded over 18 months of sustained citation impact.
Relevancy ensures the content is structured correctly, but inclusion ensures the AI crawlers can actually access your servers and accurately map the complex entities within that content.
This brings us to part 4. A for inclusion, covering strategies 6, 7, and 8. Let us start with strategy 6, entity optimization.
Entity optimization requires a comprehensive, multifaceted approach. In the context of AI, entities are not merely your corporate organization name.
What else do they encompass?
They include your people, your distinct products, your services, and your core topical authority. An AI model needs to understand how all these disparate pieces relate to one another.
Building a comprehensive, recognizable entity requires linking your primary website to all of your social media profiles and directory listings while rigorously maintaining an identical NAP name, address, phone number across every single platform on the internet.
If your address is formatted differently on LinkedIn than it is on your website, it creates fractional doubt for the AI.
The primary technical mechanism for mapping these relationships and removing that doubt is the same as property within semantic markup.
You deploy organization, person, product, and service schemas formatted in JSONLD.
The same as property explicitly connects your profiles across the web. It programmatically tells search engines that your LinkedIn profile, your Wikipedia page, your Crunchbase entry, and your primary website all represent the exact identical entity, resolving any ambiguity.
And when Google algorithms establish sufficient prominence for your entity based on search volume, consistency, and external validation, it generates a knowledge panel,
which must be claimed immediately upon discovery.
If a brand fails to claim its knowledge panel, Competitors, disgruntled former employees, or external actors can suggest edits or claim it outright.
This can lead to a catastrophic loss of control over the entity's public representation and the foundational data feeding directly into the AI models.
A project management SaaS company executed this entity optimization across all facets. They implemented organization schema with Samay's properties linking to 15 verified external profiles.
They built personal brand profiles for their founders, implemented person schemas, documented 47 specific features across multiple product schemas, and went incredibly deep on the topical entity of project management before expanding horizontally to adjacent topics.
Within 12 months, their overall AI visibility increased 420%, and their founders appeared in 18% of queries about agile methodology. They gave the AI a perfect map of their existence.
But that sophisticated entity understanding relies entirely on the basic premise of crawlers actually reaching the site to read the map. Strategy 7, Crawler Access, addresses the fundamental technical necessity of configuring the robots.txt file.
This sounds basic, but it is a massive failure point. You have to explicitly allow specific AI bots to crawl your domain.
You must identify and permit GPTBot, OAEI SearchBot, ClaudeBot, Google Extended, and Perplexity Bot.
An e-learning platform conducted a technical audit and discovered they were inadvertently blocking all AI crawlers by default due to a legacy security setting.
They updated their robots.txt to explicitly allow the AI crawlers while carefully keeping their premium form-gated content restricted. Within 90 days of simply opening the door, their ChatGPT citations for educational queries increased from 2% to 18%.
However, passively waiting for periodic scheduled crawls is highly inefficient in a rapid information ecosystem. AI crawlers might visit a site once a month. Strategy 8 introduces the IndexNow protocol for rapid content discovery.
IndexNow is an open source protocol that allows you to push notifications about fresh content or updated pages to AI systems and search engines instantly, rather than waiting weeks for a natural organic crawl.
You generate a unique API key, host it at your domain root, and automate the URL submission process through a CMS integration, like a standard WordPress plugin, or via your CDN, like Cloudflare.
The impact on indexing velocity is substantial. The white paper details the Webflow case study, where they automated their refresh workflows using these rapid indexing principles.
They achieved a 5x increase in content refresh velocity, and their ChatGPT attributed signups grew from 2% to nearly 10%. They bypassed the waiting period entirely.
Similarly, Chime utilized IndexNow to reduce their refresh time per post from 45 minutes down to under 5 minutes, an 89% time reduction, and saw AI citations on priority questions triple within 4 weeks. The faster the AI knows about your updated content, the faster it can cite it.
These technical foundations, the content chunking, the schema mapping, the crawler access, are absolute prerequisites. But executing the first four pillars flawlessly is functionally useless if the organization measures success using outdated traditional SEO metrics.
This requires a profound systemic shift in perspective and reporting, which brings us to part 5, T for Transformation, the Foundation. This covers strategies 9 and 10. True transformation starts with changing the math and setting correct executive expectations, particularly regarding the sheer volume of algorithmic volatility in these systems.
The volatility metrics in AI search are genuinely staggering for anyone accustomed to the relative stability of traditional search rankings. SE Ranking published data in August 2025, where they tracked identical queries in Google AI mode over time.
What was the retention rate?
They found only 9.2% URL consistency across repeated searches. The exact same query produced vastly different source citations from day to day.
SparkToro's January 2026 research conducted with Patrick O'Donnell reinforces this chaos. They ran almost 3,000 prompt tests across ChatGPT, Claude, and Google AI, utilizing 600 volunteers to simulate real-world conditions.
They found that asking ChatGPT to recommend brands in a specific software category 100 consecutive times produces less than a 1 in 100 chance of seeing the exact same list twice.
The exact rank ordering of the brands is effectively random.
However, the critical finding from that research is that while the exact order shifts, the top brands appear in the general output 55 to 77% of the time, regardless of how the specific prompts were phrased.
This establishes the vital concept of consideration set inclusion. The precise ranking position within the list is highly volatile, but the inclusion within the recommended consideration set is statistically stable.
Let us play this out practically. If you are a marketing leader, How do you defend an AEO strategy to your executive board when the week-to-week reporting data swings wildly by 40%? Your CEO is going to see a 40% drop in citations and demand answers.
You defend it by entirely discarding weekly rank tracking as a primary KPI. Strategy 10 dictates establishing a measurement cadence based exclusively on 30-day or 90-day moving averages.
Executive dashboards must mathematically smooth out the algorithmic volatility to reveal actual directional trends. You have to educate the executive team that a week-to-week swing of 40% is normal systemic noise inherent to generative models.
A steady 3% monthly growth on a 90-day average is the true signal of a successful strategy.
You implement specialized measurement tools like Profound, Peak AI, the SEMrush AI toolkit, or Otterly to track citation rates and share of voice across multiple LLMs over time.
Decibo utilized this exact moving average data to build an automated refresh system. It triggered structural content updates whenever traffic on a specific priority page dropped more than 20% against its moving average.
By using moving average measurement to trigger automated optimizations rather than reacting to daily noise, they maintained a commanding 25% share of voice lead in their highly competitive category.
Moving beyond foundational measurement, the April 2026 update to the Merit Framework introduces three entirely new strategies within the transformation pillar. These new additions deal directly with the systemic organizational realities of AI search. Part 6 focuses on strategies 11, 12, and 13.
Strategy 11 is narrative consistency. This is arguably the hardest challenge for a large enterprise. AI systems continuously synthesize data across every single public surface where a brand appears.
They read your corporate website, your official press releases, your customer reviews, your executives' LinkedIn posts, and third-party analyst reports.
If the sales team, PR, product management, and marketing are using different terminology to describe the brand across those disparate surfaces, the AI model simply cannot resolve the contradiction.
When faced with four varying, conflicting category descriptions, the AI outputs fizzy, heavily hedged language, or worse, it simply skips citing the brand entirely in favor of a competitor with a cleaner, unified narrative. The model opts for confidence over confusion.
It requires establishing a single source of narrative truth, a core positioning document, and a tightly controlled vocabulary that dictates exactly how features and categories are named.
Every single department that produces external content must align on the exact same proof points. If the product team calls it an integration hub and marketing calls it an API connector, the AI gets confused.
A B2B SaaS company conducted a deep narrative audit and discovered that ChatGPT, Claude, and Perplexity were consistently hedging when describing their core category.
The audit revealed the brand was being described as marketing automation on their primary website, a growth marketing platform on executive LinkedIn profiles, demand generation software and press releases, and a revenue marketing tool on G2.
By establishing B2B marketing automation as the strict canonical term and aligning the website, LinkedIn profiles, and G2 descriptions within 30 days, their citation rate in category-relevant queries increased from 11% to 23% within 4 months.
The model stopped hedging because the signal became entirely clear. But what happens when the AI is fundamentally, factually wrong? What happens when it hallucinates a negative feature that your product does not even have?
We apply strategy 12, reputation alignment. There are two very distinct types of AI errors based on how these complex systems actually store and generate information.
Understanding this dual mechanism is paramount for anyone trying to correct the record. The first type is training baked errors.
These are factual inaccuracies, entity conflations, or complete hallucinations that were mathematically encoded into the model's weights during the initial pre-training phase, months or years ago.
Fixing these is an incredibly slow process because the correction only takes effect when the model is entirely retrained or fine-tuned on dated data, which happens exclusively on the AI provider schedule.
The only lever you have here is to flood the external source layer with correct, authoritative content so future training cycles encode the updated prior.
The second type is retrieval-baked errors. These are inaccuracies pulled from live, index web documents at the exact moment of the query via RAG-G.
Because they rely on current web documents rather than static model lights, they can be fixed in a matter of days by updating the source material and utilizing the Index Now protocol to force a rapid recrawl.
To fix an AI reputation error, you do not, and functionally cannot, send a standard DMCA takedown notice to the AI platform because there is no single hosted asset to remove. The output is generated dynamically on demand by synthesizing multiple sources.
It is exactly like trying to correct a widespread rumor in a small town. You cannot issue a legal cease and desist to the rumor itself. The rumor does not live in a single building. It exists in the collective minds of the townspeople.
If you want to change the narrative, you have to flood the town square, the local newspaper, and the coffee shops with the correct, verifiable information so that anyone asking around naturally retrieves the truth.
That analogy captures the required methodology perfectly. You must update your own surfaces aggressively. You correct Wikipedia and Wikidata entries through proper channels if you are eligible.
You ensure aggressive entity disambiguation via schema markup with comprehensive same-ease properties, and you reach out to correct high-authority third-party coverage that the retrieval layer currently favors. You change the inputs to change the output.
But there is a strict, undeniable limitation here that the framework is very honest about. Reputation alignment cannot fix a genuinely bad product. It only works if the AI's representation diverges from the current actual reality of the brand.
If the negative sentiment surfaced by the AI is accurate to the current lived product experience of your customers, if they are complaining about awful customer service on Reddit and leaving one-star reviews on Capterra, no amount of alignment strategy or schema manipulation will suppress it.
The organization must fundamentally improve the product and the customer experience before AI optimization is mathematically viable.
Executing this entire comprehensive framework, from building the assets to structuring the content to managing the narrative, requires Strategy 13, organizational evolution. The discipline of marketing is fundamentally shifting from a strictly creative discipline to a creative plus engineering discipline.
The operational workflow transitions entirely from periodic quarterly marketing campaigns to continuous version-controlled content refresh cycles.
Production now requires structured data implementation, automated refresh triggers based on moving average analytics, and continuous cross-functional coordination between teams that rarely spoke to each other previously.
The white paper is very direct about who can actually execute this level of coordination. In-house teams with full executive authority are best positioned because they control PR, product marketing, and brand under a single leadership chain.
Embedded strategic agencies with real budget authority can assist, but traditional, siloed agency models completely lack the cross-functional reach required to align narratives and correct reputation across an entire complex enterprise.
A mid-market B2B company recognized this critical operational gap. They restructured their existing marketing team of four. Two traditional content marketers shifted to weekly citation monitoring and monthly content refresh cycles.
The PR coordinator added executive thought leadership to their portfolio. Crucially, they added one new hire, a technical marketing manager dedicated entirely to structured data, schema, and moving average analytics.
12 months post-restructure, their citation rate had grown from 7% to 28% without team burnout, because the structure finally matched the required engineering cadence. The discipline is professionalizing rapidly, and organizational structure must reflect that engineering reality.
To synthesize this entire examination of the material, answer engine optimization is absolutely not a passive one-time checklist. It is not something you do once and forget about.
It is an active, ongoing, highly technical engineering discipline.
While traditional SEO lays the essential structural groundwork, the merit framework mentions evidence, relevance, inclusion, and transformation is the rigorous, structured system required to accelerate visibility in a deeply volatile AI-driven landscape.
You have to provide external third-party validation, develop net new original assets, structure your content in Arty-friendly semantic chunks, ensure precise technical crawler access, and fundamentally transform how your organization measures its KPIs and manages its narrative consistency.
It requires immense patience, a strict reliance on moving average measurement to filter out the daily algorithmic noise, and a fundamental acceptance that optimizing the upstream source layer is your only actual lever of control over these generative outputs.
Which leaves you with a final, forward-looking, provocative thought to consider.
As more brands professionalize their approach, hire technical marketing managers, and perfectly align their web presence with structured frameworks like Merit, how will AI models eventually adapt their trust algorithms?
Will the future of AI search bypass structured web content entirely and rely exclusively on direct, authenticated user-agent interactions or private data APIs to determine reality?
It brings us right back to the beginning. We are carefully trying to inspect the concrete foundation of a house, measuring every inch. But the architecture of the entire neighborhood is continuously shifting beneath our feet.